Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got almost a whole year of real estate. We have Glenn Anderson here. He's been on the show before. He's a trusted person that provides sound advice for our listeners and viewers. We're going to talk about what's going on here in 2025 in real estate and what we should expect in 2026. And Glenn's going to give us a rundown. One of the big things we really want to look at here is if you're looking to purchase a home, how should you get prepared for that? If you're a first-time home buyer, what's the big thing? Now, if you're currently owning a home and looking to sell and then buy a home, hey, how should you prepare? Glenn's also going to share, which many people have asked, for those five things that you really need to do if you're looking to sell your home so you can sell for the highest amount of money. Obviously, we'd like to do it the most quickly, but you know, sometimes that doesn't work out. But we have Glenn Henderson here to do all that for us. So Glenn, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm really glad you're here. Our viewers and listeners are really looking to understand what's going on here. We've got this whole 2025. It's been an interesting year when it comes to real estate. I'll put it that way. And I just wonder if you can give us kind of a rundown of what's going on. Some people are saying, hey, how are rates affecting real estate and stuff like that?
Yeah. Like you said, been a very interesting year. It's been one of the slowest years that we've had since the crash in 2009, 2010, as far as sales. Mm-hmm. So that tells you a lot because that was a very rough time that we had back then. Rates and affordability have been the big issue. So the prices have remained high in most markets. Rates were at an all-time high. And those two combined, just people could not afford to get into homes. When the middle of the year, when we saw or started hearing the talks about the Fed making cuts to rates, mortgage rates potentially coming down, a lot of buyers just put their search on hold, waiting to see what was going to happen. And fortunately, rates have started to come down. In some markets, we've seen prices starting to come down too. So that's helping with the affordability issue. So the affordability issue is getting better as we're seeing rates coming down, prices coming down. But the other challenge is just the uncertainty in the market right now. So we have a lot of buyers that are now just waiting to see, okay, how much more are prices going to come down? How much more are rates going to come down? Because they are expected to make another cut this month before the end of the year or in December before the end of the year. And then the buyers that are looking, they're seeing a lot of price reductions because inventory is up. So we're seeing a lot of price reductions. We're seeing sellers willing to take under market or under asking price, which we haven't seen for a long time. So a lot of buyers or the ones that are looking are coming in with very aggressive offers, and sellers that are motivated to sell are having to negotiate right now, which we haven't had in quite a few years. It's been probably 5 years since we've been in a situation where sellers were having to negotiate and, you know, and seeing prices coming down like we are seeing right now.
So you really, basically, when it comes to the market, you're beginning to see a bit of the advantage on the buyer side.
We've seen a very big swing to it, to a buyer's market, where we've been in a seller's market for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you talk about inventory, it's still up. So, you know, right now, do you know how many homes that are sitting like in your area, in the San Diego area?
Yeah, I don't know today's number, but I know we're at, and you know, this, we're at a high. We haven't seen these numbers for the last 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. So we're at a high as far as inventory. We're seeing a high as far as number of homes coming onto the market each month, but sales and homes going into escrow are at a low. So we're just continuing to increase or build that supply of inventory that's on the market. Buyers and sellers are each watching this happen. So we're seeing sellers that are watching this happen, they're saying, okay, you know what? I need to get my home onto the market because it looks like this could get worse before it's going to get better. And then we have the buyers seeing the same thing, and they're like, well, I should maybe wait because these prices might get a lot better. In addition to prices getting better with more homes coming on the market, I have more options and which more opportunity to negotiate and just, might be able to find more of the perfect home, whereas before people were just settling for whatever they could get because the options were so few and far between.
And then when it comes to the rates, have rates really changed all that much? I get a quarter point here and there. It really isn't a large amount off somebody's payment.
We're down below 6%, which is we haven't seen this for a few years now. So below six, and it does, and it depends on the market. A market like San Diego or Southern California, where prices, your median height entry level home is 800,000, your median price points, a million, it makes a bigger difference than, somewhere in the Midwest where your home values are 300,000. But where people are struggling to get into homes because not only are the home prices and just cost of home ownership so high, everything is so expensive right now. Each little incremental change in rate does help, but it's not
Okay.
enough to make a big swing.
Yeah, no, I was wondering that because I was looking at that. Go, okay, so if you have a $1 million mortgage at 5 or 6%, you're at minimum paying what, $50,000, $60,000 a year, not including taxes and insurance. So it's pretty up there. Now, we talked about hopefully there's another rate reduction, and that might be kind of tough because the half of the Federal Reserve is fighting with the other half of the Federal Reserve into a rate reduction. So hopefully they'll come to a consensus that'll be positive for homeowners. What are the prospects for 2026?
It's really mixed, depending on which economist or who you follow and who you listen to. There's a lot that are expecting and projecting that we're going to see prices continue to come down next year, even with the rates continuing to improve. There's others that are saying that we're going to hit a bottom and we're going to see things start to improve a little bit. Personally, at least for our market, which I follow so closely, I think in 2026, we're going to see prices continue to soften. We're going to continue to see inventory increase. And it's this basically sellers are having to become realistic with what the market and with what the situation is. And a lot of people are just not wanting to come with terms. Come to terms with what it is and the reality that prices are not what they were a year ago or not even what they were 6 months ago. And the homes now more than, I shouldn't say more than ever, but more than we've seen in the last 5, 6 years, the home has to be in good shape. You have to be willing to do either the repairs up front to get the home ready for the market, or once you get into escrow, be willing to address the issues that come up because the buyers know that they have the upper hand. And if you're not willing to fix those items that are a concern, then they'll cancel and move on and find another property and another seller that is willing to address them.
Now it's interesting you say that because I was just thinking about, my neighbor, always not completely listening to this, but they bought at about $100,000 above market was a few years ago. Okay. Yeah, just a little over a year and a half ago. Okay. And they did it because there was four other people that were, fighting over it and the whole shot, and they went 100,000 above, and it's their house, they want to be there, all that stuff. I get that. But you look at that and you say, okay, here in the next couple of years, with all this inventory, that house probably wouldn't sell for that same amount, and it'd probably be a lower amount for the next couple of years.
Oh, we're seeing that a lot right now. And so exactly the situation you explained with your neighbor, the competitive bidding and the emotions get involved and people were offering those, really high, crazy prices. And a lot of the, I've talked to a lot of people where, they thought that that was going to be their forever home or they'd be there for the next 10, 15 years. And so they were willing to pay more because they thought, in the long run, it would work out. But then, life happens, situations change, whether it's work, family, health, you can get list is endless of, things that can come up. But now they're in a situation where they need to sell and they're going to have to take a loss on a property that they bought just 2 or 3 years ago. And it's really hard for a lot of people, I mean, most people, to be able to, accept that. But it's the reality of what the market is now.
Yeah, it's kind of a
Yeah.
big gulp when you have to accept it. It's
Yeah, it is.
hard.
Because the thing too is you figure if you bought a home last year and you even if you sold it at the same price today, you're still taking a loss because of all the fees that are involved with selling. So, you could even, be up 2% on the home, but when the average cost is 4 to 5% to get a home sold, you're still, in a sense underwater or losing money with it. So, and
Okay,
that's
so one of the things I would like to address is you know about the big lawsuit with the real estate fees and all that stuff. So if somebody's engaging, for example, yourself as a realtor, what does that all mean to them?
So, in a sense, for the most part, in practicality, nothing has changed. So now, what has changed is buyers are having to sign agreements with agents up front. So whether it's specific to one property that they want to see, or if it's general for working with them over a term, for a specific market, there is an option to work with more than one agent, but most agents aren't willing to do that. But they're negotiating the amount that the agent is going to be compensated. But that can be requested to be paid from the seller as part of the offer. So 99% of offers are when they're being submitted, the buyer and buyer's agent are requesting that the seller pay that commission. So the one thing, so then the sellers are agreeing and they're still paying the commission. So nothing in a sense has changed where the sellers are still paying on almost every situation, both sides. But what has changed is it's negotiable now. So the buyer's negotiating what fee, they're willing to pay with the buyer's agent. And then if the seller doesn't agree with that amount, so say if the buyer's agent requests 3%, the seller can say, no, I'm only willing to pay up to 2%. Then it goes back to the buyer and the buyer's agent to either the buyer's making up that additional 1% or they renegotiate their contract and then the agent takes two. So it has the good thing that's come from it is making it a negotiable item, and it has brought down, at least in our market, down the buyer's agent commission to more of around a 2% versus 2.5, what we were seeing before. So it is saving the sellers a little bit of money, but and overall, sellers are still paying both sides, and it really hasn't changed too much,
Okay.
except in the way it's being handled.
Yeah, everybody had the preconceived conception that it was just like, oh my gosh, it's going to save me a bunch of money if I sell my house.
Yeah.
But really not.
And
Okay.
it really hasn't. And there's been, especially early on, sellers that were very hardline that, okay, I'm just not going to pay a buyer's agent commission now. And then what we were seeing is that buyers were asking for it. And then when the sellers were saying no in the counteroffer, then they were just responding with their counteroffer of whatever that amount would have been, countered, less. So if it would have been a $20,000 commission, they're just responding with a price 20,000 lower because they're having to make up that difference now. So it's come, it's kind of a left pocket, right pocket. It's coming from somewhere.
So the game's the same, it just looks a little different. That's
Yeah.
all. Okay. Hey
It's
folks,
shuffled
hey,
around.
stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving Steve and Clint Anderson.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly want to take a moment and thank you for tuning in, sharing us with your friends and family and associates about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight and information on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Hey, you can always follow us at Saving with Steve section on our Facebook page, check the Insiders Club, guests, gifts, the whole shop. So let's get back to more Glenn Henderson and see what's happening here in real estate. So one of the big questions that we have is, if you're looking to purchase a home, how should you prepare? I've never had this question. I have numerous people ask this because it seems like because of the interest rates increases and everything, the whole world's a little bit different when it comes to buying real estate. One of the things that's happened during prior to this time when it was a seller's market and basically, you know, you had to prepare for this, but now it's kind of switching around, going backwards to the buyer side of things. So how should buyers really prepare to purchase a home, whether it be here in the San Diego area or somewhere else?
First, always is getting connected with a lender, or I always recommend, you know, talk to two or three lenders. You know, one being the bank that you bank with, and then you getting recommendations or referrals to a couple additional lenders, and getting your pre-qualification done. So that way, you know, one, if there's any hurdles or anything that need to be overcome with your financing, and two, knowing exactly what it's going to look like as far as on a monthly basis, and basing what you are going to set your budget as based on what payment you're comfortable, and not just what you're able to qualify for. Because that's something we see people sometimes fall into the trap of, well, I qualify for X number of dollars, but you might qualify for it, but is that really going to be a comfortable payment for you when you factor in the home insurance, the home cost of home ownership, property taxes, everything that goes with owning a home? So getting that pre-qualification done, determining what you're comfortable spending on that monthly basis and what you're going to be, what price point you want to be looking. And then as far as with hiring an agent, one of the big things,
Glenn,
is,
before we go there with the hiring of the agent, you know, you said, look at three lenders.
Yeah.
Help me understand, or our listeners and viewers understand, why look at three lenders? You talked about the bank, but what would be the other two you'd be looking at?
So the lenders, they all sort of a lot have different products that they're able to offer, meaning there's the different initial banks that are lending the money, and eventually that gets sold to Fannie and Freddie, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. But they are able to offer sometimes different pricing, different origination costs, so the fee for obtaining the loan. They have different underwriting, different processing fees, and some have different programs too. So for example, if you're a self-employed borrower, Your traditional bank may not have a program, but there's going to be other lenders that have programs available to you. And especially in situations like that, the range of rate and fees that are offered can be a very big swing. So talking to multiple people is going to help you to find, you know, the best rate, best terms for your situation. And you'd be surprised if you do, you know, talk to two, three, how much of a difference in rate that you'll find a lot of times, where it could be, you know, 0.25% difference in rate that you're finding between different lenders. And it's just a lot of times it just really comes down to how much they're making on the back end of the loan. And it could save you quite a bit of money.
To make this real, what could be, like, if you have a $1 million mortgage, what's 0.25%?
Oh gosh. I mean, that'd be a few hundred dollars a month. So, you know, could be potentially a few thousand over the course of a year. So when you look at that over the course of, you know, the home ownership, it'd be a significant amount of money.
Oh, and for 30 years, it'd be $60,000-$70,000 or more.
Yeah.
So it's important to really take a look at those things. For those people who are self-employed, it makes more sense to look for somebody or a lender who specializes in that. Does that make sense?
100%. Find somebody that specializes in it. There's a lot of lenders that do now, and there's a lot of excellent programs out there for people that are in that position. And where A few years ago, it was a lot more difficult to get financing if you were self-employed, where now there are a lot of really good programs out there.
There's a lot more people that are self-employed. They're are all part of that gig economy. I mean, I know Uber drivers that make a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, and it's like, wow. Now, you were talking about, hey, the next thing is to find an agent. What should be looking for in an agent?
So definitely you want to look at experience. So how long they've been in the business, how many homes have they been selling a year, looking at how many of those were, if you're looking for a buyer's agent, how many of those homes were buyers that they had represented. And the good thing with like Zillow and with the internet, it's pretty easy to find that information now. But the experience is such a big thing. There's it the way the real estate is, a lot of times the agents that are working with buyers are newer agents. And the difference between a newer agent or somebody with experience could mean, the difference of you getting the house, not getting it, or it could mean the difference of, tens of thousands of dollars in price. Because one of the things that I see a lot of times is the newer agents or just agents that aren't doing a lot of business, they're much more motivated or much more anxious to get a property into escrow, and not where, the agents that are doing more business have a good book of business. If it's this home or the, home in 3 months that you end up buying, doesn't matter to them. They just want to find the right home. They're more willing to negotiate and be harder, push back more on the seller to negotiate better terms for you, better price. And then once you get into escrow, the agents that have experience that have been doing this for a while are the ones that are going to be able to give you better guidance on what you need to be looking for as you go through the inspections. You would not believe how many agents, the buyers go through their home inspections, they get their HOA documents, everything else. And the agents forward it over to the buyers, but they never actually read through it themselves. So they're not really guiding the agent or guiding the buyers and providing, the assistance that they should be providing. So the experience is crucial. And buyers, I see it a lot more on the buyer's side, where people just they'll meet somebody at an open house and they just work with them, or somebody will say, "Oh, I know, so and so from, the school, and she's an agent," and they just work with that person, and they don't actually interview them or do any background to see who they're working with. But on when people are selling a home, they're usually much more diligent interviewing and making sure that they're going to find the person that's going to be able to get them the most money. So on the buying side, you should treat it the same way, interviewing multiple agents and find the person that's going to get you the best price and going to negotiate the best terms and just protect your interest.
I can see how important that is because if you're looking for experience and you see somebody who's actually sold 100 homes in the last year or two, you know they've got a lot of experience and you know they've got a likely have a large inventory of homes that they can show you, find you, and you know might take 3 months, but you might see 60, 70, 80 homes as opposed to somebody might be newer, might not have that those number of homes to for you to review. And then when you're looking at the negotiation side, I get it. If, you know, but somebody's not sold a home in 3 months, they're kind of looking for a check. So they're trying to make sure things work as smoothly and as quickly as possible. So their recommendations might be a little tarnished in reference to their pocketbook. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Unfortunately, that's exactly what I was saying. It's and I see it all the time.
And then on the seller side, I can understand you want somebody who has an advertising package behind them. How many people are going to be able to see your house? Is it just going to be one site or is it going to be 150? Are people going to be seeing it that are potentially moving to the area because they're moving from another state for a job? So they have more people who are motivated to look at it. And then if you have, a real estate agent who legitimately has, 30 or 40, 50 people always looking at the next home that's available, it creates a higher opportunity for purchase and that ability for people to negotiate over a higher price.
Absolutely. And the other, all of those are very accurate statements. And then the other is the connections when the problems do come up. So inevitably, whether you're on the buy side or the sell side, there's going to be issues that come up, and being able knowing how to navigate through those. And then, for example, we have one right now where it's an old cast iron drain line that had some root intrusions in it that the buyers found during their inspection. So the buyers came in with a almost $12,000 request, which was the quote that they got. Dude, I have really good contractors, plumbers, everyone that I've worked with for years, and our plumber's able to get the job taken care of for 5,000. So it saved over 50%, so we're paying our my clients are paying 5,000 versus 12,000 to get the issue remediated. And that's a substantial amount of money. And so, knowing, having the connections, knowing, how to address it. And it's, because I've been down that path, I mean, probably 100 times now with drain lines that have come up. It's something that comes up all the time. But, so having that network is a big part of what comes along with the experience as well.
Yeah, we had a similar issue a long time ago when we sold a house where it was the drain that was off the roof, and they wanted, was it $2,500 to fix the whole thing? And our realtor negotiated down to 60 bucks to just fix the little piece that was broken. So, I get that. This is wonderful. Hey, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Glenn Henderson and talking about what's going on in the real estate market.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Today we're talking about the real estate market with Glenn Henderson, outstanding real estate, sells a lot of homes. And we're just talking about, hey, what you'd be looking for in a real estate agent on the buy side and the sell side. But now we have seen recently a 70% uptick in repossessions on cars. We're seeing larger and larger mispayments when it comes to credit cards, mortgages, things like that. So people are saying, hey, you know what? We're experiencing some financial stress. I'm getting laid off because of the stuff that's going on with AI or something else. Companies are looking to make sure their profits are up, but a lot of times that means they have to reshuffle their employment deck, which means they are laying off people. So people are saying, hey, we've got some financial stress here. What are the things that we can do if we need to sell our home because we're worried about the ability to make a payment in the future?
Yeah, and we're seeing that a lot and getting a lot more calls. And we've talked about before when I've been on the show that we, during the last market crash, I had the very busy short sale business, and we're starting to see the short calls for the short sales coming in again across the country, calls from across the country. But yeah, it's people, all the different reasons that are just, they're getting pinched, and, a lot of layoffs or just people that overextended, and the short sale calls are picking up. But in addition to just people getting laid off and people just needing, traditional sales, but needing to get out of their properties.
And you know what? The interesting part is one of the things you said earlier about people saying, hey, I got qualified for $1 million mortgage. Well, can you afford that $1 million mortgage? Does it allow you some breathing room with inflation, with things going up, with maybe you have, change your job, how long you're going to have that last, and so on. And now people are beginning to feel that because we've seen significant inflation over the last few years, and we're beginning to see the job layoffs. not only from AI, but from other areas. So when it comes to that, let's talk about, you've talked about short sale. Okay. So explain what is a short sale? How does it work? And then let's get into if somebody's considering that, what would be the steps to take if you're considering doing a short sale?
So short sale is basically when you owe more on the home than what it's worth, or if you just owe more than what it would take to be able to sell and pay all the fees. So, example of somebody that bought last year for, we'll just say $1 million, could sell for $1 million this year, they're still going to be underwater 5%. So that would be somebody. But basically, you don't have enough equity to be able to sell and pay the fees and pay off your mortgage. So at that point, what we do, or what somebody does, is you negotiate with your lender to take a short payoff. So basically, the lender's going to take less than the full amount owed on the mortgage in order to get the home sold. And a lot of times, first question I get is, well, why would the lender do that? And it's for the lender, it all comes down to their bottom line. So if somebody stops making payments and they can't afford their home anymore, and then there's two options. It's either short sale or the property goes to foreclosure. They're going to lose a lot more money in a foreclosure. So that's why they're willing to do a short sale and basically take a shorter or smaller loss. And there's still a lot of government programs that insure the loans so that really, that loss ends up being covered where it may not be fully covered in a foreclosure. So the short sale, in when that comes down to the dollars and cents for the lender, it makes sense for them to do it.
Oh,
And
that's.
it's the solution for the client or the owner to be able to get out from underwater, get out of that situation that in the home that they can no longer afford. And then one of the biggest parts with the short sale is when the short sale's approved, it specifically says, and we make sure it specifically states in the agreement, which is basically the contract with you and the lender, but the agreement that the remaining balance that was owed on the mortgage is forgiven so that you do not have a lingering amount that you're going to be paying to the lender when it's all said and done.
Now, if they forgive that, say it's 5% on $1 million, 50,000, is somebody getting a 1099 because it's being forgiven?
It depends. So if it's your primary residence, no. If it's, and you can confirm with your tax person, but if it's primary residence, you're not supposed to be receiving a 1099. If it is an investment property, then there's and money had been taken out of the property. So say you've owned it for years, you initially borrowed 800,000. Over the years, took out second mortgages for another 200 or 300,000, and now you're underwater. Then there's the potential for 1099 on the property. So it depends on if it was your original purchase money, or if you've taken money out of it, because the way they look at it is if you've taken money out of it, then that was basically, income that you received.
Oh, I see. Okay. I see.
Or
So
you
that
got
means
the
if they,
profit on the gain of the property.
okay. So that means if they're taking out a loan for $300,000 and they're forgiving that same property, that's a $300,000 1099 that they'll end up paying taxes on. So I can understand
Potentially,
that.
yeah.
Yeah. So now you're here you are. You're looking at doing, okay, what are my options? I've just gotten laid off. I've probably got 6 months of money in my account. What's the first step? You said talk to the bank. Is it one of those things that, what's the smart first step? Should you be talking to a realtor first? Should you be talking to the bank first? Who should you be talking to first?
Yeah. So if you get into the situation where you're not able to make the payments, if you have a financial advisor you're working with, definitely talk to your advisor and, just overall, what changes do you need to make in your life and your plan? The bank, if you stop making the payments, notify them that you're stopping the payments and you can't make them. They're going to give you two options, the loan modification or the short sale. The loan modification, that's 9 out of 10 people, it's not an option, because usually if you can't make your payment, it's because your income's been reduced or you don't have income. And that's what you need in order to get a modification. So, some modifications that get approved are things where if you had a, just say you had a health issue or you just had a lapse in employment for 3 months, you're back, you have a full paying job again, you're making relatively the same income, you need to get those 3 months forgiven or added on to the mortgage or something. So those are the type negotiations we or modifications we see the bank doing sometimes. But if your income has decreased and you don't have the income you had before, you're not going to be able to continue to make the payments in the lender's eyes. Most likely, they're not going to do the modification, and the short sale is going to be the direction you need to go. And then, if you do want to talk to a realtor, make sure it's somebody that's has a lot of experience in doing the short sales. They are incredibly complex. The lenders make it incredibly difficult. And one of the challenges with the short sales is you're dealing with you have whoever you make your mortgage payments to is the servicer. They're not the actual investor 9 out of 10 times. So they're you've got the servicer, who's basically a middleman for the person that owns the lo note on the loan. And if the person doesn't have experience in being able to deal with them, having the connections within the banks, and then knowing the departments that we file basically complaints, which would be government, state, and federal agencies that we file complaints with if they're not hitting the timelines or doing what they need to do. It's very difficult to get a short sale through. And since we've been doing this now for over 15 years, we understand the process. We have the connections. We know what direction to go when we're not getting the responses that we need. And you'd be surprised how often we have to file the complaints in order to get the attention that the file needs.
Oh wow. So there's a bit to go along with that to make those work.
Oh, a tremendous amount. And that's why it's so crucial that if you go down that route, make sure you connect with either an agent that has a lot of experience with that, or a group that does the negotiations, which will work with your agent. So, for example, we're not able to do short sales in all states, but we're licensed in most states to be able to do them. So there's a lot of times where we handle the negotiations, and then we work with the local agent in that market to handle the actual real estate side of the sale. So your agent may not have the experience, but make sure the person that's handling the negotiations does. Because it can mean the difference of the property going to foreclosure or, getting the short sale approved.
Okay, that's really, really good to know. Hey folks, stick with us. We're gonna be right back. The next part is if you're selling your home, the things you need to do to sell it for the highest amount of money. So stick with us. We'll be right back with more Glenn Henderson.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthy or happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
I truly want to thank you for tuning in and sharing us with your friends and family and associates. Again, all the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to check out our YouTube channel, subscribe to it, never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network, AM FM 247. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, lift your spirits, and live a life of personal financial freedom. I want to get right back to this because the next segment is really big for all of you people looking to sell your home. And you know what? Glenn has this 5-step process. And you know what? We're going to give you his website at the end, but he's going to go through this, the things you need to do to sell your home for the highest amount of money. So, Glenn, thanks again for sharing this with us.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure it's up on our website so people can go to it and check it out, make sure they have your contacts and all that stuff. So, I'm going to just leave the floor to you and let you go at it.
Perfect. So, first step is once we get contractor, we work together with the client, is the pre-inspection. So, by pre-inspection, I mean we bring in a home inspector, our termite inspector, and we do the inspections that the buyers are going to typically do once they get into escrow. So, what we want to do is find any potential issues or problems ahead of time and get those addressed as needed so that when we get into escrow with the buyer, we don't have a big issue that comes up that causes a property to fall out of escrow, and we don't give the buyers a lot of leverage to come back and ask for a big price reduction or negotiate, big credit or something unrealistic. And as we've talked about earlier in the segment, the market that we're in now, where we're back to a buyer's market and they have so much more leverage, this pre-inspection and getting these things addressed up front is more crucial than ever. And after we get the pre-inspection, we address any concerns and get those taken care of. The second part is the staging. And the staging, when I say staging, I reference it's not just bringing furniture into the home, but staging is basically getting the home showing in its best light. So this could be curb appeal, pressure washing the front, planting some flowers in front, plants in front to add some color. It does include inside, well, decluttering, cleaning. Sometimes we'll do the painting or little bits of work to just improve the overall look and feel of the home. And then there are situations where we'll take furniture out of a home and maybe bring in some new furniture that's maybe not so dated, or it's a smaller piece that fits in the space better. And then on the vacant homes, then staging would be the traditional bringing in all of the furniture to stage the property. But where we have so much inventory on the market right now, and there's so much competition for every home, all of these little steps go so far to basically try and set ourselves and set your property apart from the others and the other competition, because buyers are so critical of every property right now. And because they are seeing 5, 6, 10 homes and they're comparing every home against each other, you need to be able, you need, it's more important that you do these things. When we had the market where we had 4 years ago, you didn't need to worry about this stuff because you were the only home on the market and you had 4 or 5 offers. So buyers were taking what they could get. Now it's the opposite. The buyers are comparing, and you need to make yours stand out and make it basically buyers are looking for a home that they can move into and not have to do a lot of work to it. And if the home does need a lot of work, this goes into the pricing part, which is step three, is accurately
Before we
pricing
go there,
homes.
I want to ask one thing. So basically what you're saying at the beginning is understand all the issues your house has, all the things that likely would need to be addressed if somebody were going to buy it, whether it be dated, whether something needs to be fixed, whether you've got a fence that's been rotted, you need to put the post in and that type of stuff. And then you're looking at the house itself. And you're saying, okay, you know what? Hey, it might be dated, decluttered. When you say decluttered, that could be they have 45 pictures of family up on the wall. The reality is they don't care, but somebody seeing your house doesn't care about the family. They care about, can they see themselves here? And is this updated enough so they don't have to do much? Is that kind of what you're saying or?
It is. And the other part to the pre-inspection is not just things. The big thing is it's not only the things that we can see, but the big thing we want to find is the things we can't see. So is there a leak behind the refrigerator, or behind the washer that you're not aware of, nobody's been aware of, but it's a small leak that's going to come up? Is there, that the mold thing comes up quite a bit because of leaks that people aren't aware of. Is there a small gas leak? Is there, these are things that we're outside of what you can see, but it's those unseen things that we're really trying to find because those are the ones that can really throw a curveball in the transaction and, a lot of times can end up causing the cancellation.
Okay, so like for example, a few years ago, we had an issue with our drains in the backyard. They weren't draining properly, and thank God we got them done because it rained like less than 3 weeks later and we would have had a serious problem. So things like that that you don't normally might deal with once a year for a little bit here in California or somewhere else, but you just want to make sure that those things could be major impediments for you or down the road if you've sold the house. Is that
Yeah, exactly. And with the homes that are outdated, it's not necessarily going in, and I'm not saying that need to go in then and update everything, but still need to take care of, any issues that could be a big problem, for somebody. And then in regard to step three with the pricing, is then pricing it accurately. So if you do have the home that's not updated, get it showing in its best light that you can. Take care of any big issues. So if you have the leaks, you have, a fence that's fallen over in the front yard, whatever that may be, take care of the bigger issues so it doesn't look like it's going to be a problem home, but somebody can move into and then update and make it their own over the years. But make sure you price it accurately for what it is, because so often we see, people trying to get top dollar for a home that is not, is not updated. So you need to take that into consideration when pricing it. But in general, with pricing right now, we have to look at the relevant and or the current data, where before you could go back 6 months, 12 months when you're pricing a home and look at the sales comparables. Now you need to be looking at things from the last 3 months and seeing what the market trend is with the homes that are on the market, what's in escrow, what's fallen out of escrow, and base the pricing on what's currently happening today and price aggressively. Because a home that sits on the market that gets priced too high, especially now in this market, if he sits on the market and then you start to see the price reductions, buyers see that as an opportunity to then come in and negotiate and come in with the lower offers. Where a home that just comes on the market that's priced accurately, buyers are much more willing to come in at the asking price or close to it. So getting it priced correctly up front is more crucial than it's been in the last 4 or 5 years.
So basically, I could totally see that because if you're when it's a seller, when it's a buyer's market, and you're way overpriced, or you're trying to, I want to get this much out of it. It just won't work because you're going to end up waiting months and months and months for somebody to say yes, and you're probably going to get a lot less than what you ever expected.
And the buyers start to see the price reductions, and then they see, okay, that seller needs to get the home sold. We'll come in, substantially lower and, ask for the world with their, with the offers. So trying to get that priced and, just accepting the reality of what the market is right now and pricing it accurately for today's market.
Okay, and what's the next step?
And then the one other thing, sorry, I was going to mention with the pricing is we're seeing a lot right now. Is agents are getting more desperate. A lot of the, small, I don't want to say smaller agents, but agents that are slow and they need sales and they need listings. And they're either desperate or just not experienced and they're overpromising, they're giving unrealistic prices. And you've seen a lot of cancellations and a lot of, now back to where people were working with sellers on their second or third time because they went with the agent that promised them the world and promised them an unrealistic price because they just wanted to get the listing. And a lot of agents will do that, promise whatever they need to promise, tell the seller whatever they want to hear, and just know that the seller, a lot of times they can just wear the seller down through price reductions, and then eventually they'll get to the price that it's going to sell. And it's an unfortunate thing that happens, but it is a tactic that agents use. So be mindful of that when you're talking with people, and don't just go with whatever sounds best. And then this fourth step is marketing, making sure you hire an agent that has an aggressive and active marketing plan for the property. And a lot of agents are the passive agents that put the sign in the front yard, hold an open house, and then just wait for the phone to ring and wait for something to happen. Make sure you go with the agent that has an active plan for how they're going to market the home, create mass exposure for the home. And we have this plan where we, with our pre-marketing, to start to build exposure, build interest in the home before we even go on the market. But you need an agent that has that plan, that has a database of buyers, and that's going to be able to create the exposure. Because especially now where there's so many homes on the market, your home needs to stand out against all the others, and it needs to continually be in front of people in order to make sure we get the most exposure, get the buyers in there, and find that right buyer for the property.
Okay. That's I can see how important that is. Yeah.
And then the fifth is in the negotiation. So with the negotiations, there's two parts to it. One, the experienced agent that is going to basically fight for you and push to negotiate every term, where there's the slower agents that may be willing to just say, take this, we need to get into escrow, we need to get this into contract right away. But also the steps that we talked about up front with the pre-inspection and getting identifying problems, providing all of that to the buyers up front so that they are aware of what they're getting in the property, and then eliminating that second point of negotiations, which we typically see when we're in contract and the buyers come back to the seller with a laundry list of requests for repairs or credits or price reductions. So taking the steps in the pre-inspection, getting the home ready for the market, doing everything properly so that you can avoid that second point of negotiations.
That's wonderful. Glenn, hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being on today. I know our viewers and listeners were really looking forward to this. And the information you provided, especially what's going on in this market, is really, really valuable. So thanks again for being with us today. Glenn, how can people get a hold of you if they need to, if they need your help?
So my phone number is 619-500-3222. And then my website is mypremierhomes.com.
Perfect. Folks, you heard it right here. Mypremierhomes.com, 619-500-3222. Glenn, thanks again for being with us, everybody. This is Glenn Henderson. Stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Hey, I just want to talk to you a little bit here today. You know what? It's interesting. Here we are. Today is October 19th. We're calling it NVIDIA Day. Folks, I think this really, really, really interesting. One of the things that we're seeing in the market world, you know what? The most important question today is, are the $1 billion that are being poured into AI infrastructure inflating a bubble and laying the foundation for surging growth and productivity? So for the circular nature of financial AI deals and vast sums of money being spent without much to show for it, it is quite a few investors' concern. The risks in the growth fade away as the big AI spenders have to pull back on their commitment. The players now only have to deliver on the numbers but continue to feed the market's rising expectations. So that's a big deal. It's just mind-boggling of how much influence this one stock NVIDIA has over the entire market and to the point of the economy. Risk and volatility belong in the markets but not in the portfolios of the ones we serve. It should be an interesting day, and I stay soon. And you know what, that we're also seeing that top 10 stocks generating 41% of the growth in the S&P, and those are all AI related stocks. This is a time where you want to make sure your performance money is situated to take advantage of some of the exuberance, but at the same time, have a mechanism in place to react when that exuberance comes to an end. This is why I want to take a quick moment, talk to you about an exit strategy. How many out there have an exit strategy? You know what? An exit strategy is not about timing the market, okay, or selling off. Picture it like this. It's a routine fire drill at work. Alarm sounds, we follow a clear path, everyone exits calmly to a safe point. Now imagine applying that same calm, rehearsed approach to the moment the market becomes volatile while you're living on investment income. Retirees who rely on investment income face a double risk. Market downturns can erode principal just when you need withdrawals, and withdrawal timing can amplify tax and income challenges. The goal is to chase is not to chase every headline, the time to market, but to protect your income stream and preserve your capital for the long term. Now, the plan, simple exit written plan with three parts and then three practical elements. The first part, primary exit, maintain current allocation and withdraw plans unless clear signals say to adjust. Pretty straightforward, right? Backup exit, a predesigned shift to lower volatility assets when conditions worsen. Three, safe meeting point, a targeted allocation of liquidity reserves to cover essential expenses for 1 to 2 years. Now, here comes the practical elements. You want to have a preset withdrawal rules that keep essential spending steady while protecting your portfolio. Two, a cash short-term reserve to cover essential living costs such as healthcare and emergencies. And the last one is having clear triggers. For example, market downturn thresholds, maybe 10-15% of recent highs, or sustained volatility spikes, or upcoming large expenses in medical bills and repairs. Folks, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be complex. It should be simple and written. What do you, yourself, your advisor have in place to ensure that when that balloon that's been floating around Wall Street pops, you know exactly how to react without emotion, without surprise? Folks, I want to thank you all for joining us today here on Saving with Steve. Look forward to seeing you next week. And again, I want to thank you for sharing with us your friends and family. With that, I wish you all a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.